and welcome to today's Heartbeat. Today I'd like to share with you a different angle of a story of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. I'm going to read the scripture and then I'm going to pull it apart a little bit and share with you something that really struck me. And this is in John's Gospel, chapter 4, starting at verse 7. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?" I was struck by when Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman. He said, "If you knew who you were speaking to, you would ask me for the living water that I have." And she was like, "Yeah, but you don't even have a bucket. What are you talking about?" Because sometimes we think our bucket, our abilities, what we have, the bucket could be big, small, medium size, you know, heavy to lift, that it's our ability. It's what we do. It's what our gifts are. It's how hard I work. It's how hard I pray. It's the focus on me. So if I want this water that's going to quench my thirst, I need the biggest bucket and I need to not share it with anybody else. It's got to be all for me. But it's not the bucket, as we know, that Jesus was talking about. It wasn't the water that was in the well that Jesus was talking about. It was the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. So we all, no matter our buckets, our abilities, our gifts, what we might have, we all get the gift of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And this water, this living water, will always quench our thirst. We'll never be thirsty again. We'll only be thirsty if we reject the living water, if we say, "No, I'm not drinking it." Because this living water, this water of the Holy Spirit, of Christ living within us, helps us live, helps us breathe, helps us love, helps us live life today, helps us physically, mentally, spiritually cope with life. You can say, "Well, how can Christ in me help me physically?" Because sometimes it's the determination, the spirit of determination within me that gets me to keep walking, that gets me to keep getting up. It's the persevering spirit. It's the loving spirit. It's the kind spirit that allows me to go to work every day and be kind to people that aren't kind to me, helping me physically. Mentally, it helps my thoughts, captures my thoughts, makes them come unto the throne of the Lord and not be the thoughts of what the world tells me to be like or think like, but thoughts of goodness and wholeness and love and service. So it's mentally helping me, spiritually helping me, because I become closer to the living God. This water within, and John goes further on to say in John chapter 7, verse 38, and then I'm going to go to John 15, but John 7, chapter 7, verse 38. "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." in a way, it's hard to describe. And John's tried to describe it like this, as if it's gushing water coming out of our heart, out of our spirit, out of our souls. And it is just like that. It's this forever, you know, a water that doesn't run dry, that quenches all the thirst of who we are, of what we need, of what we desire, of what we dream, of us being perfect. This unquenchable thirst that is only quenched by God. And you see it in the world. You see it, people. I've heard, you know, before, the guy who invented or worked with Apple computers, he said, I have everything. He had money and prestige and all the things, I guess, in the world that people chase after. And he says, I still feel empty, because he had not found the living water that quenches all our thirsts. Then in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 4, and it's such a picture of how God dwells within us. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. This abiding, this dwelling, this habitation, this living within me is Jesus Christ. And if he lives there and I live with him, we're one. We're friends. He calls us friends. He says, I tell my friends everything. I share with them everything. We are one. Just as the Father and I are one, so are my children. He wants them to be one. We're sons and daughters of the living God. We're heirs to his throne. We're heirs to his kingdom. And it's this that quenches our thirst. This indwelling of the Spirit of God, of God himself. It's a mystery, and it's hard to really explain, but if you understand or know what it's like, you just know. You just sense, you just feel. These words of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, bubbling up within you, and it doesn't come from you, but it joins in with your spirit. And you, it's like you've come home, you accept what is told to you, what is said to you. It feels right. There's a fit. It fits together. That's what God does, because we've come home. We've come to where we originally were created for, to walk with the living God, to talk with the living God, to share with the living God, to be one with the living God, not to be God, but to be his creation, who is the closest to him. And can I encourage you to, I guess, pray about it, that, you know, it's not what we do, it's who we are. And who we are comes out of here, out of our heart. You know, what comes out of our mouth is what we think, what our attitudes are, what our heart thinks. Well, that's where God lives too. And you can dwell with him. And he says, you dwell with me and I'll dwell with you. He asks, he invites us, but we have to say yes. Remember the picture of the door and the doorknobs on our side? God knocks on the door, but we've got the knob on our side to open up to him. So if you want to know the Lord more, ask him, come and dwell within me, Lord, more. Come and share with me more. Come and be with me, Lord. Because he desires to dwell within us, to be one with us, to love us completely. It's often though we who think we have to do it. I've got to be the best person. I've got to go to all the rituals and masses and traditions, and they are wonderful because they help us focus on the living God. But they're not. They help us encounter the living God, but they're not the living God. The living God lives within us. The living God is available to each and every one of us. So maybe be like this woman at the well who says, "You don't have a bucket, Lord. So how do you have this living water? Lord, my bucket's, you know, not the right size. I don't even do very much, Lord. But I want to know you more. I want to have this living water that quenches my thirst, that lives within me." Invite him. Surrender yourself to him more and more and more. And you'll have the biggest bucket with the biggest amount of living water that you could possibly ever have. Because it's he who gives it to us. It's not us getting it. Ours is just to sit and open ourselves up to him in surrender. Putting up the white flag and saying, "Lord, I'm here. I need you. Come to me right now." Let's ask the Lord to come and be with us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Living God, we need this water to live, to breathe, to move, to be who you've created us to be. We invite you in more completely, more open to you. Come, Holy Spirit, dwell within us. Live with us. And help us love you more and live you in our life more. We ask all of this in the mighty name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great week, and I'll see you again next week.